You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, you strike me as a thinking man.
Really?
Yeah. No, not really. I just thought I'd say that to compliment
you. I'm working over here. I haven't got time to think.
You call that work?
I'm working. It's like Igor in Young Frankenstein. He's doing all the switches and everything.
Now would that be Igor or Igor? It's kind of like tomato versus tomato. You know what I'm saying?
In Young Frankenstein, it's Igor.
It's Igor, mm-hmm. Of course. I should have known this. I'm sorry that I did not know how to properly pronounce
Have you not seen Young Frankenstein?
You know, was that a Gene Wilder movie, was it not?
Yes.
I don't know that I ever have, to be honest with you. I should, if
well,
I haven't.
There you go. Now you've got a rental.
This weekend, I know what my plans are. What do you think, Maestro, about thinking?
I don't think about it much. It just happens.
You ever see the movie, the Disney movie, Beauty and the Beast? Or that the Gaston song.
I'm sure I saw it.
That's your rental this weekend.
Really?
Because it's one of the greatest songs. And in the middle of it, Gaston says, Naboo is his friend. Naboo, I've been thinking, a dangerous pastime, I know. That's the song. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I didn't sing that on the air. That would be awful to actually try to sing that. But nonetheless, the reason I bring up thinking, we're going to actually talk about thinking a little bit here on the program, and before I do that, let me go ahead and introduce...
What program is
what
that?
What program would it be? Let me think about that for a minute. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and at Career Callings, our job is to... And our mission is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. You can join us by phone, text, or email today. Phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now, years ago, I took, not once but twice, the career direct assessment that I've often mentioned on the phone, on the show. I really am having trouble thinking today, aren't I? On the show, and something that Crown Ministries and late Larry Burkett came out with a long time ago. Both times I took it, we pretty much scored the same way on several different issues, one of which was the idea of thinking. My personality type is such that I actually engage in thinking almost as a sport. Not that I necessarily think... That doesn't make me smart. It just means I like to daydream a lot, which can really be bad for you, and it is in many cases, because it can distract you from doing something that's actually productive. But I just want to kind of introduce this idea of how what you think about influences how you are able to achieve your career calling for the Lord, or engage in your career calling for the Lord. Before I do that, another question for you, Maestro. Have you ever seen the Star Wars movie called The Clone Wars?
The Clone Wars?
The Clone Wars, yeah. You ever heard of that?
I missed that one.
How about that? Okay, how about the animated TV series, The Clone Wars by Star Wars? No? You never?
No.
Well, I wonder what it would be like, how you would feel if you thought you were a clone. It'd be interesting. Let's see what Weird Al Yankovic has to say about that topic. I think I'm a clone.
Isn't it strange?
with a view. I've always wanted one of those, haven't you, Meister? Oh, my stars.
Reminds me of the movie Multiplicity. Have you seen that?
That's another weekend rental for me. I don't think I've seen Multiplicity before.
You've got to see it. Michael Keaton.
Okay.
Was it a comedy? He clones himself.
Okay, that's
two of them. Then they wind up doing three. And then it goes from there. I'll just let you watch the movie.
Well, were Michael Keaton and all of his clones as depressed as Weird Al just was on that movie and that song?
You will not believe it.
Well, I tell you what, I think if I were a clone, I'd probably be depressed too. But nonetheless, what does that have to do with your career calling? Well, years ago, I was introduced to a guy named Earl Nightingale. I don't know if you've ever heard that name, Meister, or not, Earl Nightingale, but... You ever heard that name before?
No.
No, okay. Well, that's pretty cryptic. Thank you for sharing that with me. Earl actually served in World War II. He was one of the survivors of the USS Arizona that was attacked in Pearl Harbor, one of the few survivors of that ship that sank. And then in the 50s, he ended up starting his own insurance business, became very successful, and then eventually got into what is now called the personal development movement. Wrote a book, wrote several books, actually, but had an audio recording called The Strangest Secret that, if I remember correctly, came out in 1955, and it was the first spoken record to go gold, I believe it was. And in The Strangest Secret, it's only a 45-minute recording, and I really don't know if Earl was a Christian or not. He said several things in there that were Christian-based, but I don't know if he was a saved man or not. But he had a great illustration in that recording, which went something like this. Basically, the human mind works like a field that a farmer plants. The mind, like that field, will return what the farmer plants, and it doesn't care what the farmer plants, but it will just simply faithfully grow what is sown. For example, if a farmer plants corn, the ground will return corn. If the farmer plants nightshade, which is a deadly poison, it will return nightshade. And it's up to the farmer to choose what is planted, and the field will simply return it. So the thinking, the idea behind The Strangest Secret was this. As you think, what you think about is what you'll become, or the way he actually articulated it in the recording, we become what we think about. Now, that sounded very profound, first time I ever heard it. Lo and behold, though, years later, I realized that it wasn't all that profound. He got it from the Bible. He stole it from the Bible, as all wisdom is taken from the Bible. In Proverbs 23:7, the Bible teaches us that a man is what he thinks in his heart. The character we exhibit to those around us is made up of the behaviors that we engage in. But underlying our behaviors are our thoughts. Our thoughts drive our actions. So what we have to do is guard what kinds of thoughts germinate in our minds, just like we have to figure out what kind of crops we're going to plant on that field. And if we allow thoughts of holiness to reign supreme in our minds, then holiness will mark our character. If, however, we allow sin to reign, then wickedness will be what we are known for. Christians who live short of the victorious Christian life, whether that be in pursuing God's career calling for their lives or in pursuing God's spiritual callings in their lives. Now, anybody who falls short does so not necessarily because of any external circumstance. They fall short instead because of their imperfect thought life. Rather than sowing holy thoughts by constantly tapping into the source of purity, which is, of course, God, they sow carnal thoughts by constantly tapping into worldly influences. Rather than fill their minds with the Bible, they fill their minds with worldly television and books. Rather than tap into godly music that brings the soul to the gates of heaven, they absorb fleshly music that fuels earthly lusts. So rather than come before God in prayer, they may seek out some earthly diversion that speaks to their flesh and then claims, you know, I just don't have enough time to pray. A lot of people do that. I've done that in my own life. But we don't really remember or don't realize a lot of times is that our thought life is our life. And for the Christian to experience victory in this life, in our career, in our life outside of our career, we must first experience victory in thought. Victory in thought doesn't come automatically. It comes from the hard work of planting God in the mind by virtue of constant communication with Him. And unfortunately, many of us Christians, we favor communication with the world over communication with the Savior. And until we reverse that trend, our lives will continue to be upside down. So if you're having trouble figuring out your career path, if it seems like God isn't showing you the calling you desperately want Him to show you, it may be because your thought life is filled with stinking thinking, as so many people have said in the past, rather than being constantly focused on God, His Word, and what His will is for you. So just consider that as you wonder why you might be struggling to detect God's career calling in your life. Let's talk about 7 tips to build a business while working a day job. And of course, as we look at this, we must have another edition of Johnny Paychecks. Take this job and shove it.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Well, I certainly cannot say that God won't ever ask you to just abandon your job and go find something else. He might do that. Obviously, he told Abraham, for example, to just abandon his home and go somewhere else. But I think it's probably safe to say more often than not, God doesn't lead us necessarily to jump off the cliff. If he does, he does, and that's between you and the Lord. But a lot of times he won't do that. And in order to make a transition from where we are now into the career calling he's called us to will be indeed what I just said, a transition. So 7 tips to building a business while working a day job, or in that case, 7 tips to building a career outside of your current day job, is an article that I want to share with you now. And we'll talk about a few of the most of this on the other side of the break. But the first one is getting a crystal clear reason for starting your business. Why are you indeed doing that in the first place? And just to tease you with that, come back after the break to see why there is a why there you need to focus on. Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. See you in just a few minutes.
When you listen every weekday to the Eric Metaxas Show, you'll hear from the people making news. Plus, we'll talk to some of the more surprising voices in contemporary Christian life. And did I mention fun? Yeah, I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm trying to pioneer a new kind of talk radio. So join me every weekday for the Eric Metaxas Show. You'll never think about radio quite the same way again.
Tonight at 10 on Christian Talk 92.9.
I'm sitting here on location with Blake Burrow of the Knights of Siena Fencing School. And Blake, tell me how you see Teach Me Morpheus benefiting your business.
I have a lot of students, and not everybody either has the time or the ability to take private lessons. And some of the kids would like to practice at home. It is a way for them to make sure that the things that they are practicing are being done the exact same way that they learned in class. For me, as a revenue stream, I only have so many hours in the day to be able to give private lessons. So now people can purchase them at home. And now instead of just serving one person at a time, I could serve as many people that want to learn something about fencing are now my customers.
Help your customers make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
The Journey Christian Newspaper, originating right here in the Carolinas, offers encouragement through articles to equip readers in their walk with Christ. From local spotlight articles to news and Christian events, the Journey Christian Newspaper provides information and connections to the Christian community. The current issue is available on racks now or online at journeychristiannews.com. The Journey Christian Newspaper, encouraging Christians on their walk with Christ. A proud partner with Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
You found Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
I'm so glad you came back for the tips that I wanted to share with you on the former side of the break. This is Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Our mission here at Career Callings is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. Our number is 864-381-7649. You can join us by text or phone, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Before the break, we're just about to launch into an article review of an article I found on entrepreneur.com entitled Seven Tips to Build a Business While Working a Day Job. The author, Grace Bluerock, was basically making the, or actually wrote the article on the premise that many people do indeed dream of leaving their 9-to-5 jobs to start their own businesses. And that's a true statement. Not only do people dream of leaving their current jobs to start a business, they also dream of leaving their current jobs for another job or career that they believe is more in line with what their purpose is. Her seven tips, I think, are very applicable to both avenues of life, whether it's to start your own business or to find your next career outside of starting your own business. Either way, I want to share these seven tips with you, summarize them for you, and then we'll move on to other matters. Tip number one, get crystal clear on your reason for starting your business, or if I may add to that, starting to look for a different career. Considering the why is really the most important first step you can take. Why are you wanting to do something different? Why are you wanting to start your own business, for example? Do you want financial independence? Do you want freedom? Do you want creative expression? Do you want to be able to do what you believe the Lord is wanting you to do? And I think, of course, for us Christians, that latter statement is the one that's most important. Why are we doing that? Why are we looking to start another business? Because we want to engage in the work God's created us to do. That's the why. If you understand your why, that will drive you. That will keep you motivated in times of famine and darkness and keep you focused and committed to doing that which you've taken a step of faith to do. Number two, commit yourself to the dream. Having the desire for something to work versus committing to it are vastly different, Grace Bluerock writes. When you commit to your dream, you're making a binding obligation to see it through to success. It means you're all in and you find solutions when faced with obstacles and you don't quit no matter what. That's a very important step, by the way. If you don't commit, it's going to be very easy to bail out on that process, on that career calling, as soon as the first sign of trouble arrives. Create a personal vision for your business or your next career endeavor. Think about what you want in your business a year from now and write it down. Be very specific. Be very detailed. Describe in great detail and in the present tense your ideal day, what activities you want to engage in, who your customers and clients will be, and then read your vision aloud to yourself every morning and evening and keep it top of mind, because as the more top of mind it is, the more committed you will be to it. Number four tip, join a mastermind group. Now, if you've never heard of a mastermind group is basically a group of peers getting together and working together, mentoring each other towards a common type of goal. They brainstorm ideas together, share advice together, work through challenges together. I've been a member of a mastermind group or two over the years, and they're very, very, very productive. Now, to find a mastermind group, a place online you can look into is a website called Meetup. Meetup does have a list of those kinds of things. There may or may not be something on meetup.com that is good for you, but that's a good place to start in case you're looking for a place to do some research for mastermind groups. Number five, immerse yourself in learning. Can't emphasize this one enough. I don't care what your next step is, whether it's starting a business or launching into a new career. You never can learn enough, and you'll never know it all. So research and study anything you can find that is pertinent to that next endeavor you're trying to engage in. The more you know, the better prepared you'll be to take advantage of the opportunities the Lord gives you. Number six, stay positive about your day job. It's very, very easy to get so excited about your next step that you forget to focus on doing a good job where you are today. My pastor likes to say a lot of times, until the Lord makes your exit to your next opportunity apparent, you need to grow where you're planted. So make sure that you do keep a focus on doing the best job you possibly can where you are until it's time to leave. Because remember, everything we do, we're supposed to do for God's glory. And the better a job we do, the more we glorify Him. The worse the job we do, the less we glorify Him. Number 7, set daily goals. Take small, measurable action steps each day towards your business, understanding that there will be times when it seems like you're making no progress at all. And that is so true. You can feel like you're on a treadmill, making actually no forward progress at all. But especially in the beginning, where a lot of times the work is very tedious as you try to ramp up to where you want to be. So do set daily goals, just one goal a day. It can be something that takes 10 minutes to do, but just set a goal each day. Take a baby step each day in the direction that you want to go. So that's our 7 tips, and we played Johnny Paycheck on the front end of this discussion. Now let's wrap it up.
Take this job and shove it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Maestro. Now, a lot of times, people equate pursuing God's career calling in their lives with automatic happiness. And a lot of times we have this vision that, hey, if I go find a job that I love, I'll always be happy, or every day will be happy. And, you know, it's very easy to fall into that trap. And I want us to make sure we understand that God doesn't always promise us perpetual happiness when we pursue His career calling. What He does promise us is heart peace and power from Him to do the task He's given us to do. And to kind of illustrate that, let me just ask yourself a question to imagine, or ask you to imagine for a moment that God had called you into some sort of mission field, and in that mission field, this was the method by which you were going to deliver His message. Number 1, shut yourself up in your house. Number 2, draw a picture of the city you live in on a piece of flooring tile and set it on the floor. Number 3, place a toy army, complete with camps, battering rams, and a siege wall around the tile so that it looks like the army is laying siege to the tile. Number 4, take a big plate of iron and set it up between you and the tile. Number next, being bound with ropes, lay down on your left side for 390 days in a row and stare at the iron plate. After the 390 days is up, turn over on your right side and stare at the iron plate for another 40 days. Next, prepare and eat the same meal, barley cakes and water, every day at the same time. By the way, Maestro, that would be very, very hard. When I was a child, I told my mother that I loved ham so much that I wanted her to make me ham every night for supper for the rest of my life. She was a trooper. She did that for about maybe 2 weeks. And by the end of that second week, I was just all done with ham. And I didn't touch ham again for 20 years. Do you believe that story?
I do believe that.
You should believe that story, because you should think hard about that, because it's the truth. So, yeah, eating ham, as good as that is, I was gone for 20. How would you like to eat barley cakes and water for like 430 days? Not cool. But he had to eat this at this fellow I'm talking about, who I will identify for you in just a second, had to eat that same meal every day at the same time. Last thing this guy had to do was go outside his house every day for those 430 days so he could cook those barley cakes and water in the sight of the people. And the way he had to cook it was using cow's dung rather than wood as the fuel for the cooking fire. Now, I am describing to you what the prophet Ezekiel had to do in the book of Ezekiel. He had the task of proclaiming God's message in the form of an object lesson, and the object lesson he portrayed was one of great sorrow and pain to come. And in order to portray the message with the proper gravity, he had to endure some vestige of that pain and sorrow himself. And by living like that for 430 days, and by the people around him seeing how he lived, Ezekiel's message carried a lot more weight than it would have had he only verbally proclaimed the warnings of God. Now, sometimes God calls us to a certain work, calls us to deliver a certain message, but He doesn't stop with just the command to go and tell or go and do. Sometimes He'll bring circumstances into our lives that, after we've lived through them, they will give our message more weight. But while we're living through them, life won't be so happy. And even if we are engaged in a calling, in a work that we know God has called us to, sometimes we'll go through those times where we will not be terribly happy. We will not be having a whole lot of fun. But because of that stuff we have to go through, our work, our message through the work that God has given to us will carry more weight. And unfortunately, a lot of times when we deliver that message to other people through the work God's called us to do, even if it does have more weight because we have gone through some tough times, people will be more prone to listen to us, but not necessarily to obey God's word or to do what God is telling them to do. God may make us an object lesson, and by doing so, he may grant extra weight to the message we've been tasked with, but we may be greeted with the same response Ezekiel was greeted with after he became an object lesson. In that case, the people of Israel in his day totally rebelled against God's word. No matter what we have to go through to become the messenger God wants us to be, there's no guarantee that the message will be accepted or even respected by other people. And that's tough. You know, God called Noah to be a preacher prior to the flood, and he preached for, you know, at least 100 years. I would say 120, because God gave him the message 120 years before the flood. I read some countering or differing opinions on that from commentators, but nonetheless, not one single convert. So sometimes God's going to call us to a work that's going to have some depression involved with it, some pain involved with it. That doesn't mean we don't engage in it. We do that anyway, because we don't need to be measuring our success by worldly standards. God measures our success in pursuing his career calling by whether or not we're obeying him. And if we obey him in a work that he has obviously shown us to do, regardless of whether or not it makes any sense to anybody else, whether or not it brings about everything we had hoped for, we are laying treasures up in heaven by doing the work God has called us to do. And my task and your task is to do what God wants us to do regardless of the outcome. Now, hopefully, the outcome will be something here on this earth we can enjoy, and most of the time I think it will be, because he'll give us the heart peace that only comes with total obedience. And if you'd like a copy of today's broadcast, come to careercallings.net/radio, careercallings.net/radio. Get a free copy of today's broadcast and links to the articles we've cited. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.